Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Leading off today with some rather sad news, some rather unfortunate news. Del Wilkes, better known as the Patriot to WWE and WCW fans, has passed away at the age, I believe he was 57 or 58, apparently of a heart attack. Certainly far, far, far too young. And obviously our prayers and thoughts are with his family and friends. Terrible story. We lose a lot of professional wrestlers young. I'm not really sure what the ratio is. Maybe one day I'll actually go into it, but I have to tell you that mid-60s for a professional wrestler seems to be about the average, and that's way too young. Way, way too young. So very sad news to start the show off with. Anyway, folks, AEW makes its return to Wednesday nights, and the ratings show that they are better off on Wednesday night. Their Friday night ratings were in the 400,000 and 500,000 range. It's not good. It's really not good. Especially when they're going to kick off their new show on that time slot. So, yeah, a little bit of a question remains on that. But the return to Wednesday sees them go up into the mid-800,000s, which is about average, which is exactly what they were doing. So the good news is they didn't lose any fans. The fans who did not see them these last several Fridays didn't jump ship. See, that's what they had to worry about, is that they have a month or so with shows on Friday, their ratings are in the 400,000s or 500,000s, that a good portion of their fans maybe just said, I've missed 3 or 4 weeks, forget it. That didn't happen. So that's good news for them. And I believe they're about to go out on the road a little bit here, so this will be very interesting to see as well what happens. Aside from that, we have a story concerning Lana going on Chris Jericho's podcast and really letting it go. Some NXT call-ups. Quite a bit to talk about this week, as well as what's going to happen tonight on SmackDown. Roman Reigns carefully guarding his character. Roman Reigns did an interview that was supposed to be a shoot interview, and really remained in character, saying he doesn't feel he has any worthy challengers. Now, he broke kayfabe by saying, at some point, I'm going to need a break, and someone's going to need to take my place. But I'm looking around the locker room, and I don't see that guy. So he's carefully guarding his character while he's clearly saying, at some point, I'm going to relinquish the belt so I can do some things, a la John Cena. I don't see the guy currently that can take my spot, that's totally done in character. That's totally done in character. He did mention Drew McIntyre. He said, well, McIntyre is a very close number two, but he's still not really there yet. So, I mean, this is all just fluff from Roman, who realizes, by the way, this is the best character change he's ever had, and it's working. It's working like gangbusters. It's probably the only thing that's working, aside from possibly Team RK-Bro in the WWE. So he's very closely guarding this, and he's making this appear as though the person you see is really, really him. Although I'm going to tell you a story in a minute that may indicate that it's more like him than you think. But what's your thoughts right now? Right or wrong, is he, Todd? Is there anybody right now in the WWE that could take his spot if he decided he wanted 3 or 4 months off?
Actually, kind of a no, as of right now. If he takes the time off for 3 months, there might be a possibility of Drew McIntyre being the Universal Champion.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I mean, to be honest with you, we go down the list of people, and I'm saying to myself, well, let's see if he's over-exaggerating. Who could potentially take that spot? And I'm shrugging my shoulders. McIntyre's already been the champion over on Raw. It wasn't like he was tremendous draw, or there was a lot of tremendous interest, so I don't know if it would be any better on SmackDown. It's not going to be Kevin Owens. It's not going to be Cesaro. It's not going to be Daniel Bryan. It's not going to be Edge. I don't know. He's kind of right. I mean, I guess you could say Seth Rollins. He's done it before. And under the right circumstances, Mike, he might be able to do it again.
But then that would sort of kind of take away what they may want to do with him and Becky Lynch, wouldn't it?
Well, not if they did it right away. Not if they had Becky Lynch come back right away. If Roman Reigns said, look, after summer, I want 3 months off, you could work on this pretty quickly.
But then, at one point, I thought they were building towards what's his name being the Jay being the guy, because they were calling him Main Event Jay and all that stuff, right? So I thought it would have been him, but obviously they don't think he's ready yet to do that. So it's not going to be him, right?
No, they're going to keep them guys in the tag team, I think. I think they realize that that's where their bread is buttered on the Usos. I don't see anybody. You could make the argument for Seth Rollins. You could say he's been there before. He did okay. Perhaps as a face, he could get over, especially if Becky Lynch is back. Maybe, just maybe, Seth Rollins could hold the ship for a while. That's about the only person I see, though. I mean, there could be a couple of people on Raw, but they're on Raw, so you'd have to switch them. I mean, would it be disastrous if AJ Styles went over there and won? No. AJ Styles could hold the ship down for a few months. No question. Especially on SmackDown. He seems to be better on SmackDown. Have you noticed that? You could do that with him. I guess you could do it with Bray Wyatt, but to be honest with you, I don't like the idea because it just means he's going to lose it again. So in a way, Roman Reigns is right. There's not a whole hell of a lot of people right now who could fill his boots. And that's not meaning talent-wise, by the way. That's just meaning gimmick-wise, in the sense of who's going to stir the kind of interest in the title that Roman Reigns has stirred in these last several months. I don't see anybody. I think that's a legit problem for the WWE. And they need to start building some people who will. Because bringing back John Cena, who's not going to win, bringing back The Rock, potentially, who's not going to win, that's not going to help. That's going to give you that one match that people are going to probably be into, but it's not going to help in the long run. In the long run, you need to build some characters that you say this person could potentially take Roman Reigns' spot and do very well, and I don't see anybody. That's a huge problem for the WWE. It's been a huge problem for the WWE for a while. And that's why the WWE has decided that they're going to raid NXT once again, this time of all their quote-unquote younger, bigger guys. And as we saw on NXT, Bronson Reed loses the belt. That's because he's WWE bound. Backstage at Raw this week, Karrion Kross is about to lose the belt because he's been backstage and actually wrestling main event on main event against Shelton Benjamin, and he's been backstage. with and without Scarlett, so we're not sure whether they're going to use him with Scarlett or not. His first match, she wasn't there. So these are people that they're going to, I guess, try to utilize immediately. Now, Vince McMahon clearly sees the writing on the wall. And I think Vince McMahon was convinced by the powers that be, and some of those powers are probably Pritchard and Triple H and other people, that the future of wrestling are the smaller, more athletic guys like Johnny Gargano and Ricochet and those guys. It's not, folks. It's not. That might be your favorite type of wrestler, but it's not the future, because those people do not attract large groups of people. They just don't. We can argue all day long about whether wrestling should be more athletic like that or not. And I'm all for a more athletic form of professional wrestling to an extent. But we cannot argue seriously that guys like Ricochet, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, Adam Cole are going to draw the same amount of people that the really big guys drew, because it just isn't true. It's just not true. Now, you could take one example and you could say, well, Finn Balor's drawn more than Otis. Yeah, okay. That's because Otis hasn't been used in any tangible way. But I'm talking about stars. I'm talking about megastars. All the big stars, with the exception of maybe Shawn Michaels, who was still, you know, AJ Styles size. That's something people got to remember. People say, what about Shawn Michaels? Shawn Michaels wasn't a buck 60. Shawn Michaels was still 210, 212. He was still the size of Seth Rollins and few other people. And Bret Hart was listed at like 230. So, yeah, he wasn't 6'8". He was, I don't even think he was 6 foot. But let's say he was 6 foot. But he still was a, you know, stocky guy. All this is gone now. I mean, I was looking at NXT, and I'm looking at Samoa Joe trying to separate Adam Cole and a whole crowd. I mean, there literally was, I don't know, 6'8" wrestlers there. And I'm saying to myself, it looks like an adult trying to separate kindergartners from fighting. And Samoa Joe's not the biggest guy. And when you see Samoa Joe literally towering over 6'8" people, you say to yourself, see, this is a problem. I'm sorry, it is. Now, you can be mad at me all you want and say, oh, it's just unfair to small wrestlers. I'm not saying there's not a place for smaller wrestlers, but it's like basketball. Maybe you're going to have a couple 6'1" guys in basketball, but not that many. Not that many. And you better be exceptional. Well, it's the same thing with wrestling. I think Vince realizes it might be time to go back to some bigger guys who seem more impressive. It's not that they are more impressive. But again, wrestling comes back down to the illusion of, this is a guy I wouldn't want to tangle with. And you don't get that feeling with half of these wrestlers. You just don't. They can make them look that way. They can make it look like, oh, well, you know, Aleister Black is a real kickboxing expert. Okay, and probably can kick a lot of people's ass, but he's not that intimidating at his height and weight. Neither is Johnny Gargano, neither is Tommaso Ciampa, neither is Finn Balor, neither is Adam Cole. I'm sorry, they're just not. Now, Karrion Kross may not be anywhere near as talented wrestling-wise as any of those people I mentioned. But I promise you, he's one of those guys that if you're in a bar, you don't want to fight him. And that does mean something. It just does. And to deny it, it's foolish. So I think Vince McMahon understands this now. And I think Vince McMahon is saying the reason we're not drawing what we should is because we need a larger group of impressively mean-looking or intimidating guys. Right now, you got Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. They're both pretty big guys. You just let go Braun Strowman. And aside from that, not many. Not too many. So, Mike, it appears he's going to take a big chunk out of NXT, two champions.
Right. And look, I mean, think about this. You mentioned two guys they let go, but you also recently let go Tucker, and you let go,
right.
You know, and there's a few other ones that you let go that would fit that that potential thing. You know, I mean, even to some extent, Nikki Cross's husband, Killian Dane.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. Yeah.
You know, Eric Rowan is another one they let go that would fit that, you know?
I know.
So,
I know.
I mean,
I think Vince realizes the error of the boys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. If you're letting these bigger guys go and then you come back later and you say, I need some more bigger guys, then wouldn't it make it in your mind a thing that, well, I made a mistake, which tells you something about Vince McMahon. He never admits mistakes.
I think the real problem here is that they had the bigger guys and then they ruined them. Braun Strowman was a guy you could have kept for 10 years and not ruined them. Because he really was a mean, big dude. He looked mean. He was enormous. You had him tipping over ambulances. You had him doing things that was outrageously powerful, and then you ruined him. And people weren't intimidated by him anymore. Same way with Eric Rowan. You had him with the Wyatts, and you're like, my God, that guy looks like a mental patient. He could probably tear your head off. And the next thing you know, he's got a mechanical spider for a pet. And people are just like, yeah, I'm not intimidated by him anymore. You got to make them intimidating. Now, I always told this story. I'll tell it again. Look at early. I didn't know George the Animal Steel much until he was after Elizabeth and he had the mind doll and all that kind of stuff. That's when I first picked up on George the Animal Steel. But if you go back in his career, and you watch old George the Animal Steel matches where he was the villain, people were genuinely afraid of him. Now, I'm not talking about people were just like, oh, he's weird. I'm talking about people were genuinely afraid of him. And because they were genuinely afraid of him, anybody who fought him, the crowd was solidly behind. They really wanted to see him get his. That is something you can't buy. That's gold for a wrestling federation. And the fact he could then change it into a sympathetic, childlike, fan favorite character is also a huge tribute to just how much talent he had. But we don't have those guys. We have Brock Lesnar. That may be Bobby Lashley. That's about it. People aren't even all that, like, fearful of Roman Reigns. They're like, yeah, he's kind of big. He's not enormous. I'm Roman Reigns size. So, Lesnar's not 6'8 either, but Lesnar looked like a monster. And Lesnar has that reputation. I told you one time, Heath Herring, who was a bare-knuckle fighter over in I believe it was Japan, bigger, way bigger than Brock Lesnar, was basically sent over, called for by Dana White to teach Brock Lesnar a lesson. Thought that, Brock showed us up a little bit with this wrestling bullshit and everything, so we'll have Heath Herring come in and show him what a real impressive MMA fighter can do. And Heath Herring got his ass kicked, and Heath Herring said, look, I'm 40 pounds heavier than him and 8 inches taller. 7 inches taller. And when he got on me, it was like somebody parked a freaking Mack truck on me. That's how strong he is. And he left there saying, ain't nobody in UFC beating him. Not on the ground. He said, if he takes you to the ground, you're done. You're finished. Absolutely finished. Because there's nobody stronger than him. Nobody. In the MMA world. Nobody. If he gets you on the ground, you're done. Turns out he was right. The only people that beat Lesnar beat him standing up. But when people say things about you like that, you become intimidating. So people believe Brock Lesnar could tear your head off, and he probably could. But people don't necessarily believe that about some of these other wrestlers. They just don't see them as that tough. I mean, you remember the days when it's like The Undertaker is going to fight Kane, and you're like, Jesus, I don't know who the hell's going to win. I mean, they're both so tough. Or, you know, you had Stone Cold and The Rock, and you're like, God, both of these guys just relentlessly tough. Now you have, you know, Sami Zayn against, I don't know, Apollo Crews, and you're like, hey, big deal. That's what's missing in pro wrestling. So Vince is going to go raid it. Now, Bronson Reed is a big dude, and he's a very, very agile dude. In some ways, he reminds me of Tyrus. Remember, what did they call him? I'm sure Todd will remember. Well, Brodus Clay, that's what it was, Todd. In some ways, he reminds me of Brodus. Go to Mike. Mike, you remember Brodus Clay?
Yes, and guess where Tyrus is right now? Tyrus is in the NWA.
Right.
You know? And he is basically filling that role as the big, bad, badass, you know, monster guy there, you know? That's what he's doing. You know, so, and it's not that he's smart. And look, you go back in the history of the WWE, at one point you had the Big Boss Man, you had Yokozuna, you had One Man Gang, you had Tugboat,
right.
You know, and that's just four guys
right.
I mentioned. At some point, with the Big Boss Man, when he left to go back to the WCW, what did they do with him? They couldn't use Big Boss Man, so what did they do with him? They turned him into what? The Guardian Angel.
Guardian Angel, man.
You know?
There was a time when Mr. Perfect was the smallest guy. You know, and he wasn't small. Mr. Perfect was not a small guy. So that just goes to show you. Nowadays, I mean, I was really shocked. I knew that Adam Cole was pretty small. I didn't know he was that small. When Samoa Joe got a hold of him, I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, what is he, 5'5"? 6? He's not that much bigger than Drake Maverick. I'm like, wow. I had no idea. I'm sorry. Those guys can be great athletes, but they're not intimidating. So if you're going to go see them, you're going to go see them and say, well, I just want to see them because they're really good athletes. Like, you know. Most of them are in NXT. Pete Dunne is a very small guy. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. So it's not that I'm knocking small wrestlers. I'm just saying you can't have a whole federation of them. Because at some point you have to say, well, there's a few of these guys here that fans are really intimidated by, or fans really are, you know, rooting for them to lose because they wouldn't want to fight them. There are so many people I bump into and talk wrestling about who say the very same thing I'm saying, which is, you know, I feel as though I could kick half of these guys' asses. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's the thing, dude. You know, I'm talking to a guy, he's 6'4", he's 265, he works construction, he's got big, I'm like, you probably could. You probably could. But that guy wasn't saying the same thing, okay, in that era that Mike's talking about. You know what they were saying back then? Jesus, man, people thought I was a big dude. I went to wrestling and I saw that Warlord guy. Jesus Christ, man. I could tip a freight train over. Well, see. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, steroid era. Yeah, yeah, I don't want to go back to that either. I don't want to go back to that either. But you can be a naturally big guy. You don't have to be a muscle-bound whatever. Just be a naturally big guy. Braun Strowman was a naturally big guy. If he took any kind of performance-enhancing supplements, he did it later in his career. When he first came in, he wasn't cut. He was just a big, bulky, monstrous guy. And I'm telling you, the very first thing I said to myself is, Jesus Christ, look at that guy. I mean, that looks like a guy you'd run into in the Ozark Mountains somewhere late at night when your car runs out of gas and you know you're screwed. You know what I'm saying? This is a dude who just by the way he looked and acted, you were like, yeah, that he's going to be big. He has found the right niche for himself, pro wrestling. And they ruined him. Totally ruined him. Eric Rowan, same way, and they totally ruined him. So Vince has got to be careful because he hasn't proven he knows how to handle the big guys. At least recently. He's actually doing better with the smaller guys. Seems to know how to handle them. He ruins a lot of the big guys. So I guess we'll see. But, I mean, now, Karrion Kross, I've heard a lot of people say he's a few years away. But he's probably not probably for NXT. But what you got to remember is NXT has a different style. Karrion Kross's style is actually probably more suited to the WWE. Shorter matches, slower-paced matches. That's probably 100% up his alley. So he'd probably do far better in the WWE. The problem I foresee with Karrion Kross is we have seen him in NXT, and he's a giant compared to them. He's not going to be a giant in the WWE. He's just not going to be. See, you have that problem. We've seen that happen with a couple people. The first person I can remember that happening to was Taz. Where Taz was a badass in ECW, and he was just tearing through everybody. Didn't matter whether you were, you know, a top guy or a jabron. He was just choking you out and tearing through you. And then he comes and he's going to be a big badass in WWE, and it's like everybody's bigger than him. The referee's bigger than him. And Vince McMahon said, this is not logical. And it didn't work. So that was the first one I can remember. But it's happened time and time again where you say, well, he's a pretty big guy. But, I mean, if you're going to put Karrion Kross in there with a Drew McIntyre or a Bobby Lashley or somebody that big, he's not gonna be enormous. And he's certainly not going to be enormous next to General Aziz or Commander Aziz and Amos. So to bring him in here as like this big, enormously indestructible monster, if Braun Strowman was still around, he's not even Braun Strowman size. So you got to be careful of that, Mike, because once again, you know, if he comes in here with the wrong gimmick, it's not going to be like NXT where he is the biggest guy.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, again, if you're going to go with the bigger guys, I mean, right now you look at some of the guys that are still out there that they can bring back, you know. I mean, look, go back in your history and look at how the WCW used Paul White when he first, you know, showed up, right? And
right.
He was pushing monster trucks off of, like, buildings, right? He was doing that stuff. Was a big show. So, yeah.
Right.
If you're going to do that, you know, I mean, I'm looking down the roster of, you know, you've got of AEW, you've got bigger guys in AEW, Powerhouse Hobbs, Brian Cage, you know, those type of guys. They have Miro's there, you know. I mean, that's another guy that would have fit that bigger guy that they let go that would have fit the bigger
yep.
guy that was already up on the major roster, and they let him go.
Yep. That's why I say I believe Vince was fooled into thinking the big guys aren't the future. We can use a few big guys, but we got to stock our roster with normal size guys who are more athletic, who have more cardio, who can do longer matches and better matches. And Vince, I think, went along with it. But now I think Vince is seeing the ratings and saying this is just, it's not the case. We need some people who the fans really are intimidated by or really think, wow, that's a huge guy. I want to see that guy live. I don't know. I mean, you listen, you might get Braun Strowman back. Never say never. You got Samoa Joe back, didn't you? I'm just saying that if you're going to bring Karrion Kross over, it was very easy to put him in NXT and say, look at this guy is a monster. How can you say that if he's nose-to-nose with Drew McIntyre and McIntyre's 2 inches bigger than him? So you got to be a little careful. You could still make him a powerhouse. You could still say, look at the power behind this guy or whatever. But he's not a monster. See, that's what hurt Braun Strowman. When Strowman slimmed down and he became more of a bodybuilder, he was much less intimidating because he looked like a big muscular guy. But he didn't look as intimidating as that big powerhouse lifting type guy that first showed up. That guy looked like he legitimately could tip a truck over. This guy looked like he was more about popping his protein drinks and maybe some other things and working out. And that's not conducive with a monster. Braun Strowman was supposed to be a guy who's just naturally a big, monstrous hillbilly, not a finely tuned bodybuilder. That hurt him. I'm telling you, that hurt him. And then because he was so much lighter, he would get in there with a guy like Bobby Lashley or Drew McIntyre, and you're like, he's no bigger. Before, he was in there with the whole Shield, remember? He beat up the entire Shield single-handedly. Even Roman Reigns was nowhere close to as big as he was. And you were saying to yourself, well, Jesus. My only fear with him in the Federation was I'm like, well, he's going to overshadow Bray Wyatt because he's going to be the guy that's tougher to beat than Wyatt. And I thought Wyatt was supposed to be the leader, so that's going to overshadow Wyatt. And then look what they did to him. So you got to be careful with Karrion Kross because I'll tell you something about Karrion Kross. He's big and mean looking. He's not good on the mic at all. And that's going to hurt him. When Scarlett used to do all the talking and he would just say a word or two, everything was great. When they started giving him the microphone, he became a lot less intimidating because I don't think he understood his character all that well. And he just became a normal dude. And that's a shame. It was the same way with Braun Strowman. Remember when Strowman said next to nothing? He would just look at you with those crazy eyes, and you're like, man, oh, man, I'm telling you, I would not want to fight that guy. Then he'd come out and say stupid things, like, I brought my base, and I'm going to play with Elias. And you're like, oh, God, forget it. You've ruined him. I told everybody the day that happened, Braun Strowman is ruined. And I was right. He was never the same since then. Now he doesn't even have a job. So I don't know if this is going to work, Todd, but if they are going to bring up the bigger guys in NXT, they do have to understand that both Bronson Reed and Karrion Kross are not going to be the biggest guys in WWE.
You're absolutely right. Like you said about Karrion Kross, he should have been up on the main roster in the first place, just come right up to the main roster, not to go to NXT.
Yeah, I agree with that because you know what they're going to have to do? If they need him in NXT, if they need him in WWE immediately, he's got to drop the belt to Gargano. And if WWE fans sees him drop the belt to a guy the size of Gargano, how are they going to believe he's going to be some guy that's going to be a huge threat for some big powerhouse guy? You don't want that to happen. See, that was always NXT's problem, too. They'd call a guy up after he lost, and you're like, well, wait a minute. We've already seen him lose now, so the magic is over. If I wanted Karrion Kross, I would have Karrion Kross destroy Johnny Gargano. And I would have him say, look, no offense to anybody here, but there ain't a single soul in this federation that could touch me. And to be quite honest with you, I'm bored. So here's your belt. I'm going on to bigger and better things. And that's it. Because then you'd have that chip on the shoulder of, wow, man, he was undefeated in NXT. This is a man who dropped the NXT belt voluntarily because he said he was bored. And now he's up here with, you know, the big boys, and we'll see what happens. That I could see happening. But if he loses to Gargano, and then he starts a big program with Drew McIntyre or Roman Reigns, whoever he's going to start a program with, you're like, well, I don't know. Why can't they beat him? Doesn't make sense. We saw Gargano up here, and he wasn't setting the world on fire, right? He was in the tag team with Ciampa, who he was feuding with at the time in NXT. So how are we supposed to believe they're world beaters? WWE acts like WWE fans don't watch NXT. That's silly. Or better yet, you could have Samoa Joe and Regal strip him of the belt. Let him do something so egregious that they say, that's it for you. You're fired. And then he could come up to WWE with a reputation. This is the only man to literally be banned from NXT for what he did. That would be kind of cool. I mean, Mike, you got to do something like that, because if he just loses to Gargano, I don't see how his debut in WWE is going to be special.
Right, and think about this. You know, you go back and you look at, you know, when Rusev first showed up, he said very little, right? He was, what, 6'2", 300, almost 300 pounds, and he said very little. Of course he said very little. You had Lana there to be his person, right? You know,
right.
To be his mouthpiece. Scarlett needs to be up with him. I know what they want to do with him, but Scarlett needs to be up with him. I'm sorry. And look, you're right. Raw Tag Team Champions, who does most of the talking for him?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
because
it makes almost look like the monster he is.
And that's why when they had that ridiculous game show thing, almost didn't say anything, and he also didn't participate. You'll notice AJ Styles was like, come on, we're going to win. And almost just looking at him like, this is just dumb and I'm not doing it. Because they didn't want to get to that point with him where he was like this lovable big guy. You didn't want that. Same way with Commander Aziz. They're selling his finisher because they want people to say, oh, my God, I mean, that'll finish off anybody. Kevin Owens wasn't the same a week after he took it. Well, you're going to have to do the same thing with Karrion Kross. So if I were booking, I would tell him, look, if you want Kross up here, and by the way, they changed Nikki's name, you notice, to Nikki Ash, because I guess they don't want two Crosses in the Federation, so maybe that's a hint of where he's going. But irregardless, if you're going to want him on a WWE roster, he can't lose in NXT. He just can't. I don't care how good Gargano is, he can't lose to him. He can't lose to a guy that size. So what he should do is something so egregiously horrible that William Regal and Samoa Joe say, you're done, you're out, you're finished. And then bring him back with the whole gimmick of Scarlett coming out first and the whole weird sort of occultish whatever it is that he was supposed to be, and tell him, you're not using the mic, dude, because you don't get your character. And we'll just have Scarlett do most of the talking for you. You just wring your hands and look mean. Your day will come when you'll get the mic at some point, but it ain't going to be right away because we need you to be this character. Then you could work with him, but I'm hearing that they might want to make him a face. So I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what the WWE is doing. I know Vince McMahon personally went down to the Performance Center and was scouting big guys. So that's what he's looking to do. He's looking to shift. And I think over the next course of a couple of months, you're going to see more and more larger guys in the WWE. Because Vince is convinced now that this could be part of the problem. He may be right. He may be right. I don't know. We'll see. Now, speaking of Lana, let's get into what Lana told Chris Jericho. Because some of this is bothers me a little bit. Lana said that she was literally shocked that she was released because for everything she was being told, they were going to be working this longer program with the tag team champions and possibly, she said, weren't promised definitely, but possibly you might end up the tag team champions, her and Naomi. So that's what they were working toward. And she even mentioned, you know, we got the coordinating outfits, the entrance, everything, and then a week later, I'm gone. So basically, she felt it was a last-minute decision. And I think she felt it was based on a long-term, high-end contract, much like Braun Strowman, whose release was blamed on a long-term, high-end contract. But that's not really what disturbed me. What disturbed me is she said that the whole thing with her being put through tables time and time and time and time again was going to lead to this big spot on a pay-per-view where she actually put, I guess, Nia Jax to a table and Roman Reigns nixed it. Roman Reigns said, I have a spot in this pay-per-view where I'm putting somebody through a table, and I don't necessarily want anybody to do it before I do, so I don't want that happening. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that when you achieve a big level of success in the WWE, it can go one of two ways. You can either go the Undertaker way, where everybody respects you and asks your opinion, and you'll say yes or no to certain things, but you don't stop other people's pushes. Or you can go the Hulk Hogan way, which is nobody's going to look better than me. Nobody's going to do anything that I want to do. I'm going to be the, you know, overall top guy, and that's it, or I take my ball and go home. Now, Roman Reigns has already said I'm only going to be wrestling the last match on a pay-per-view or the first match on a pay-per-view. I will not do any other match. Now I'm finding out, well, somebody better not do my spot. Anything that I have in my match, nobody else better do. Well, if we're getting to that part, if we're starting to get that far along the line already, I got a newsflash for you. Yes, you're the top thing going on in the WWE right now. You are not The Undertaker. You are not John Cena, and you're not The Rock. And there's a very, very, very strong chance you never will be. Now, I've stuck up for Roman Reigns I don't know how many times and said he's a way better wrestler he's given credit for. He's way better on the mic than he's given credit for. All the time everybody was hating Roman Reigns, we all on this show were saying, no, no, no. He's much better, and I still say he is. But at this stage of his career, he has not proven he can do this long-term. He has not proven he can capture the imagination of fans for years and years and years and years, like The Undertaker did, or like John Cena did, or like The Rock did. He has not proven that yet. And if you are now saying, because in the last 3 or 4 months I've lit it up, I now have the right to nix other people's angles and decide what's going to happen in my match as opposed to other people's matches, I would not give him that power. I would not give him that power. Because if you do, it's going to lead to hard feelings. And all of a sudden, he's not going to be that guy backstage that's respected like The Undertaker is. He's going to be that guy backstage that everybody's griping about like Hulk Hogan was. And that doesn't make for a happy locker room. So I don't know if these rumors are true, Mike, but, I mean, that's straight out of Lana's mouth. She said Roman Reigns nixed her angle of putting somebody through a table at a pay-per-view.
Right. And that's a bad idea because that's what I was expecting because of what was going on at the time. I mean, they keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and we said, well, if you're going to keep doing it, what's the payoff? You know? Well, the payoff is what the payoff is. And so you got, and look, on the women's side, if she was a better wrestler, Nia Jax would be that guy. All right? Nia Jax would be that girl. She's big. She's intimidating. She's scary looking. She's intimidating. If she was a better wrestler, she'd be that girl that, oh, you go into a bar or whatever and you say, okay, I don't want to mess with her. She messed me up, you know?
Exactly. And look, here's the deal. If I were Vince McMahon or any of the bookers and Roman Reigns said to me, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want her to do that because I got something like that coming up in my match. I'd say, well, number one, this has been planned for a long, long time. We're not nixing. Number two, you're not a woman. So what happens in a woman's match has no bearing on what happens in a man's match. So keep, you know, don't get your panties in a bunch. I could see if it was a finish that was the same. I could see if you say, well, we're doing a finish and it's the exact same finish. I could see you saying, come on, I don't, that's ridiculous. You're giving away my finish before the finish. But just a move in the match, somebody's going to get whipped to the ropes too, Roman. Somebody's probably going to get body slammed and suplexed, Roman. Somebody's probably going to get hit with a chair or thrown outside, Roman. Are we going to get to that point where it's like, well, I only want to be the person who's able to fight outside and discard? Hey, come on. This is not good for wrestling. I'm sorry. It's not good for wrestling. Period. Paul Heyman never put up with that. Paul Heyman was like, hey, if the first guys can steal the show, if the first two guys out that curtain steal the show. Now, he told me this personally. If the first two guys out of that curtain steal the show from the main event, I guess the main event better try harder. Because I'm not putting handcuffs on anybody. And I got news. There were some times when the first guys out the curtain did steal the show. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Anybody can be the top guy if you say, I don't want anybody doing anything better than me. If they got a spot that's going to show me up, nix it. I want everybody to look like they're not as good as me. Well, then that's an illusion that you're good. If you are that good, just say, oh, man, those guys were really good in the first few matches. I got to go out there and really light it up. That's the whole point. You don't handcuff people so that you look good. You rise to the occasion when other people look better. That's what you do if you're a really good wrestler. Otherwise, you're just a guy who's being protected. So I hope that doesn't get to the point where Roman Reigns is doing that, because he hasn't earned it yet. Has not earned it yet. Sorry, but he hasn't. Lana then went on to say that she got the brunt of the blame for posting a picture of her engagement to Rusev when she was supposedly having an affair, I think, with Dolph Ziggler or something, or she was Dolph Ziggler's girl or something, and it got posted on Instagram or whatever. And she says, I never posted that picture. We took the picture because we were engaged or whatever, and I sent it to friends, personal friends, not to fans, not to the world, to a few personal friends. And someone posted that picture on social media. And before we knew it, it was all over the place. But I never posted it. It wasn't me who posted it to the public. But she was kept off TV, she said, for 3 months. Because Vince McMahon said, it's ultimately your responsibility. And she felt that there was always some hard feelings from that. And that was why they never really pushed them the way they thought they were going to get pushed from that point forward. They said, she said, then little things start creeping up, and we know little things start creeping up. Rusev got his hair cut, I guess, without asking Vince McMahon, and that was a huge issue. Now, in all fairness, wrestling's a complicated business, and I guess what it ended up happening was that he had his licensing for an action figure bought, and I guess the picture they took was him with longer hair, and then he cut his hair, and I guess the people who bought the licensing wasn't so happy. So I get that. I understand. And I know there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, you know, big deal, what'd he make, $50? No, no. I just heard a very fascinating interview with Greg the Hammer Valentine. Way back when there were LGN figures, remember those, the big rubber figures? And he said, myself and Brutus Beefcake had lost the tag team championships. And we were being told backstage, Vince is going another direction and you're not getting them back. And you may not even be a tag team that much longer. And we were very concerned. And we said, well, now we put a lot of effort into this. And we're just not going to get thrown under the bus. So we're going to go to Vince. And we're going to talk to Vince and see, when are we getting these belts back? And what's this deal about us not being a tag team anymore and stuff like that? He said, I walk into Vince McMahon's office. And Vince McMahon says, ah, I'm glad you're here. Here's a royalty check for you. And he said he puts a check on the counter for myself and Brutus. $125,000. $125,000. And said, here's your royalty fee for your action figure stuff. And he said, we forgot why we came. We were so happy that we got a $125,000 check. We were like, whatever. You know, we're walking out of the office with $125,000. He said, what people need to know about Vince McMahon is this. Say what you want. He protects the wrestlers very much when it comes to those royalty things, and he's made great deals so that we get a large amount of money, or at least did, from those deals. And let's face it, Greg Valentine, at that stage of his career, was not the most popular guy. He wasn't the guy everybody was running out to get his action figure. If he got $125,000, imagine what Hulk Hogan got. Imagine what Roddy Piper got. So I get it. Action figures can be a big deal. And I get it that you don't want people totally busting kayfabe. But at the end of the day, I still say, Mike, even if these people got under Vince McMahon's skin, not using them when clearly the fans were taking to them only hurt Vince. It didn't really in the long run hurt Rusev or Lana. They were still getting their paycheck.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I always make the big deal about what he did with Ted DiBiase, you know, and how he paid him not to wrestle. But still, again, Ted DiBiase was getting a check. I mean,
yep.
It didn't matter to Ted DiBiase that he wasn't wrestling. He was still getting a check. So then there's that. Now, you know, yeah, if it's good, I mean, and look at the money they made off of whatever, the unicorn horns and the New Day did, right? I mean,
yes.
God, I mean, how much money did Vince make from that? And that's the thing. And look, you've got bigger guys on the, going back to the bigger guy thing, you've got bigger guys on the roster. For God's sakes, one of the two guys is with what's his face is Shanky, who is 6 foot, 7 foot one, 350 pounds. You know, with him. So they got bigger guys already up on the roster. You want more bigger guys? I mean, look, you could have had. I mean, look, how many? Go back to Sanity, Marcus. They had, what's his name, was a smaller guy, but the rest of that group, minus Nikki Cross, of course, and the rest of that group were bigger guys.
Not to mention, you don't have to be a giant. You see, here's the thing. Vince has to remember, you don't have to be 6'9", 380 pounds of solid muscle for fans to say, oh, I don't want to fight that guy. Nobody wanted to fight Steve Austin. And Steve Austin was 6'1", 240. Okay? But he had the gimmick. He had the look. He had the attitude. So you could still get away with that. They don't have to be enormous guys. The Dudleys weren't enormous guys. But they were guys who gave off the you really don't want to fight them type attitude. So they don't have to be super giants. But they do have to have a certain look or a certain aura about them. And some of these guys just don't give off that aura. Some of these guys give off the aura that if they bruise their pinky finger, they're going to be like, ow, stop the match. And you don't want that. You just don't. So Lana says, well, look, I don't know. I've been very, very proactive in Rusev's changing of his character in AEW. I've been behind some of that. So I am actively helping his career, whether I'll sign with them or they are interested, I don't know. I want to pursue some things outside of wrestling. She's keeping her options open. So we'll see. And one last thing is that the New Day apparently was voted the top tag team of all time in WWE. And this has caused a riot among fans who think this is not a good pick. This is a very good pick. This is the only actual pick because I'm telling you right now, you can argue, we can argue talent all you want. You could say, well, this team was better. This team was better in the ring. Okay. But no one has lasted this long. We've said it time and time again on this show. No one has lasted this long being on top. I mean, the very top. With the fans still solidly behind them, still selling merchandise like a merchandise machine. As the New Day, I'm sorry, there just absolutely has not been one team that did that. Not the Hardy Boy, nobody. Okay? You can't name one person who's been this successful for this long. It's been, I don't know how many years. It's got to be closing in on what, Mike? 8, 9, 10 years?
Yeah, and look, we know what's going to happen. I mean, we know where this whole thing is headed with the two of them right now, but down the line, we know what's going to happen, right? They're going to get all three of them back together, and then there's going to be, I don't want to say a renaissance, but they're gonna pick up right where they left off and be the monster thing, monster moneymaker that they have been, you know?
I agree. I mean, Todd, I think it's a good pick. I think the New Day has to be considered the best team in WWE history.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about the New Day and everything. Oh, like I was watching Monday night on Raw Monday night. Kofi Kingston came out wearing a T-shirt with all three members of the New Day. He was talking about that.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. I noticed that, too. Yeah, we all know where that's going. Look, the WWE is not going to break it, fix it if it ain't broke. Right now, they're just wanting to make the fans want it more. And down the road, it's going to happen. Down the road, that's going to happen. And they'll be popular again for I don't know how many more years. I mean, this has been a money-making machine for the WWE. And anybody who is questioning this pick, I'm sorry. You just don't understand the business then. Because I'm telling you, there is no one, no tag team in the history of the WWE who has been this financially successful for the WWE. No. Anyway, folks. SmackDown tonight should be kind of interesting. I guess we'll get the rest of the Money in the Bank participants. We'll see what's going on there, and we'll be back here Sunday to talk about it. Enjoy your 4th of July.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.